There are some people that like to smoke and some people that like to take drugs. But I'm sure that as a parent, as a responsible parent, you wouldn't give drugs or cigarettes to your children and say, you should take these because they make you feel good. Interestingly, in the fitness profession, there are lots of exercises that will hurt your joints, hurt your back, don't give you the result that you want, they waste your time, they're ineffective. And yet a lot of people say, but I do them because I like them. Even though we know that sit-ups don't burn fat off your stomach, off your abdominals, they can hurt your back when you grind your L4, L5 and your spine over and over and over from doing sit-ups. There are still people that say, I like to do sit-ups because I can feel the burn. However, if we're starting somebody from scratch and we're going to pick the very best exercise to make sure that people are fit and lean and strong and healthy for a lifetime, and one of those exercises was to look after your back and to burn fat off your abdominal area or make sure that you don't get too much squidgy bits on your abdominal area, you wouldn't choose a sit-up. So it's an interesting conundrum we have as fitness professionals. We like to do an exercise because we've been doing it for a long time or we're emotionally attached to it or we like the way it makes us feel. But when you look at the exercise logically and ask, will this exercise work? Will it give me the result that I want? Will it burn fat from this area? Will it make the muscle strong? Is it safe? Is it effective? Or are there better exercises or a better exercise to make this part of my body healthier, fitter, stronger? We get a little bit confused. What if we were asked, please, can you give me advice? I don't like to exercise. I don't want to go to the gym. I'm not a fan of having to move my body in any way, shape or form, but I do understand that I have to do something to keep my bones strong, my muscles strong and to stay young, fit and healthy. So what is, rather than the most exercise I can do or the longest exercise program or the toughest exercise on my joints or the most unsafe exercise program you can give me, please, can you give me something that's short and sharp and effective, doesn't hurt my joints and gives me the results that I want? And if we're asked that question, whether we're emotionally attached to an exercise or not, whether we love smoking or not, we wouldn't say to somebody, you should start smoking because it will make you feel good, because I like it, it makes me feel good. But yes, it is a dangerous activity to start. So there are some exercises that are just plain dangerous. If you do a leg extension, you're putting weight at the end of a long lever, you've got a shearing force across your knee, you're working one muscle without it being co-activating with the other muscle, and you could hurt your knee. And you'll often hear fitness professionals say that if you've got sore knees, don't do this exercise, don't do a leg extension. It's like saying, well, if you're a smoker, you should stop smoking because you've got lung cancer. It's a bit late now. If you've got a sore knee and you do a leg extension, it's just going to get sorer. But how about we don't do the exercise in the first place? So anything that puts shearing forces across the joint, and I use this example all the time. If you push two pieces of sandpaper together or a piece of wood and a piece of sandpaper together, nothing will happen. There'll just be a force going through a piece of paper and a piece of wood. But if you rub sandpaper across wood, you'll now have a shearing force, which then wears the wood away. And that's exactly what happens when you put a shearing force across your joint. So a really simple way to think about that is if I'm pushing through my joint, it's safe. The body's meant to handle compression forces. However, shearing forces will now, whether it's now, tomorrow, in 10 years time or in 50 years time, will hurt my joint. And the joints like the shoulder, the knee, the back, if you hurt any of those, it's really difficult to do any other exercise. If you've got a sore back, it's very difficult to be able to move your body at all or do just normal functional activity in real life. If you've got a sore shoulder, that puts that arm out of action. And if you've got a sore elbow, for example, from doing too many bicep curls or just doing bicep curls, which is a shearing force across the joint, it's really hard to pick things up. Something like picking up a cup of coffee can be a painful experience because you've got a sore joint. So as fitness professionals, I think it's really important. We might love the exercise. We're emotionally attached to it. We've been doing it for years. We think we're bulletproof. But if you're starting a child on an exercise program, surely you wouldn't give them an exercise that puts a shearing force across their joint. You would put a compression force through their joint, which is safer. And then interestingly, however, if you even a compression force over and over and over and over and over, so We get people to go running, but we say, oh, if you're training for a marathon, you need to do 30-kilometer runs. Well, it's a compression force through your joint when you run. However, doing something over and over and over will also wear out your joint. And people that want to run marathons may believe they have to do long-distance running to be good at marathon running. However, the question is always, why? Why am I doing this? And if you want to do a good time for a marathon, it's also suggested that doing short, sharp interval training where you're not putting so much pressure through your joints, it's really difficult to run fast when you've got sore joints because they've been overused or you're overtrained. And that's an interesting one with exercise as well. As fitness professionals, you know, exercise 3 times a day or 5 times a week or go to the gym and do an hour workout. But for a lot of people, that will just make them tired. They've already got a busy life. Their central nervous system then from doing really hard interval training or really heavy weight training and you make them do it 3-4 times a week, their central nervous system then gets tired and it's difficult for them to do anything in their life because they're just plain tired. Or they're really sore. A lot of exercise programs, it's smash it, bash it, train till you vomit, work really hard, and I love it when I can't move the next day. Well, for most people, apart from the fact that it's important that they can move the next day, if you give them a program that makes them really sore, they might think, oh, wow, I'm burning fat off my tummy because I've got a sore tummy. But we know that's not true. Muscle soreness is not an indication of whether or not you had a great workout. It just means, well, I could poke myself in the eye 100 times, but it doesn't mean it's a great workout for my eye. Being sore doesn't mean you've had a great workout. The only way you know that you've had a great workout is if you're getting fitter, you're getting stronger, you've got lots of energy every single day to do all of the activities that you want to do. So one of the great questions to ask is fit for what? I've got to be fit for what I want to do with my life, what I want to do in my life. And that's completely different for every person. So for a fitness professional to say, you should do this program, without asking how busy are you, how many hours do you have in your day that you could invest in your exercise program, and it might only be minutes. Wouldn't it be great to come up with an exercise program that can keep somebody healthy, fit and strong for a lifetime, and it's only for a few minutes? And we know that's true because muscles respond to overload and your heart and lungs and respiratory system respond to overload. Now you get puffed in a very short period of time, and if you lift a heavy enough weight, you'll get overload in your muscle in a very short period of time. And then the key after that is to rest and recover, because we actually only get stronger when we are recovering, not when we're training. So if you train all the muscles in your body functionally, and breaking your body up into lots of different pieces is something that people in the fitness profession love to do for some reason, because they love to be in the gym for hours and hours. But ultimately, there's only 3 major movements in your body. You push and you pull, and you lift and you lower with your legs. So if you're doing a really good functional compound leg exercise, an exercise that uses all the muscles in your upper body to push with and muscles to pull with, then you're getting all the muscles in your body used, and you can do that in a very short period of time. If you do a really good a set of squats, a set of chins, and a set of push-ups, for example, and you keep going till you can't do any more, because that's the other thing, muscles can't count. Telling people to stop exercising at 10 repetitions or 12 repetitions is crazy. How do you know how many they can do? And obviously, if they can do 20, they'll get bored to tears. So if they can do more than 20, you're going to give them a heavier weight to lift. So your strength training workout to keep your muscles and bones strong only needs to be really short, 3, 4, 5 minutes at the most. And from a huffy puffy, how do I get fit point of view, we know that everybody's going to get fit within 10 to 15 seconds, because that's just called your phosphate or your lactate energy system. So if you push really hard, you're going to get puffed. Getting puffed only takes 10 to 15 seconds. And when you get puffed, you get fit. And when you're fit, your body's a fat burning machine, even at rest. Fit people burn fat faster when they're doing nothing. And also everything else in their body's working more effectively because they're fit. Blood, oxygen, vitamins, minerals, everything's getting through their body far more effectively because they're fit. So to get people fit doesn't take very long. To get people strong doesn't take very long. And we can keep people healthy, fit and strong for a lifetime without damaging their joints and without taking away from their life. If you're the person that loves going to the gym for hours and hours and loves doing 1,000 different exercises for your body, congratulations. However, 90% of the people in the world don't do an exercise program like that. They never have and they never will, and they'll never find the time to, because it either bores them to tears or they hate it. So as a fitness professional, if you really want to help people to be healthy, fit and strong, how about we focus on how little somebody can do to be healthy, fit and strong, rather than how long they have to train, and let's keep their joints safe. It's all fine and wonderful to be bulletproof at 20, but if you really want to look the same, feel the same, have high energy levels and stay young for a very long time, then you can't be destroying your joints at 20. So if you want to be able to exercise at 30, 40, 50, 60, be skiing when you're 70, still be playing soccer in the backyard with your grandkids when you're 80, and still have a life that's got quality when you're 90 and 100, then you can't be ruining your joints when you're 20 just because an exercise feels good. So let's look after our body and do it short so that we can stay young long. Wow.